Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
When I realized that this morning we were going to have the Bible study on the book of Ruth, which I had already written my sermon for, I thought for a moment, wow, Andrew, don't mess it up. Fortunately, you guys did not go into the thoughts that I had had about the book, and so now I'm actually going to be able to add to what we studied this morning in the Bible study. And hopefully give you a different perspective, maybe one that you've never thought of before, or maybe one that you had, and if so, good, we thought alike. That's nice. So if you'll turn in your Bibles to the book of Ruth, and I'll go ahead and begin. Ruth, just call me bitter, the story of Ruth. That's what Mara means. It means bitter. When she was speaking to the townsmen there in the verses that we read in Ruth chapter 1, verse 19, the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem, and it happened when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them. And the woman said, "Is this Naomi?" But she said to them, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me." This is the time of the judges, a time when the children of Israel have finally entered the promised land. They have taken the land. They have been finally allowed to do the thing that was promised to Abraham so, so long ago. Everything's great. These people have it made. This is everything we've ever wanted. We start life with dreams of good things, ideas of success, hopes for a family, and expectations of where we will live. We think we're going to have a good job. We're going to have a solid family. We're going to have a great place to live. I'm going to have a nice car. I'm going to have everything covered. And by the way, I might think about God too. It's going to be great. All about me, and maybe a little bit about God. But hey, it's going to be great. We don't know any better. That's what we do. That's what I did. I can remember having in elementary school, everybody think of what career you want to be and then come dress like that person. And so we had the NASA, the firemen, we had the policemen, we had people running around. We didn't have any programmers there walking around saying, "I want to be a programmer." No, no. We didn't have any preachers. There was no one holding a Bible saying, "I'm going to be a man of God." Only the things that were super cool to a young boy of about 7 or 8. That's what you had at that time. So we probably had some people that were going to take care of snakes and frogs because those are cool. But they weren't realistic. Even the teacher told us at the time, "You know, you people that are floating around with this space shuttle, there's not very many of those people going to live on this earth. There's not many people that are going to fly out of space, at least not right now. But we have ideas that we're going to do great things." Sometimes we discover that life is not what we hoped it would be. In Ruth chapter 1, verse 1, we have just such a story. And we'll begin reading there. If I can get there, everything is moving except for the screen. "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons." Now, let's just stop right there. It came to pass in the days when judges ruled. This would have been the time before a king was in the land, after they had entered the land of promise, when judges ruled because of the people's lack of faith. Judges were not set up because it was so great and everything was going to be good. No, everything was super awful. The people cried out to God, and then a judge was raised up. So this famine most likely was due to the people themselves forgetting about God. And this man decided that it was too horrible in Bethlehem to live. And he took his family to Moab, where there was obviously food. Long time ago, Joseph went to Egypt as well, right? So there's not necessarily anything wrong with leaving. But there are some rules that an Israelite is supposed to follow, and one of those things is that your children certainly should not be marrying from those that were not from your clan. Specifically, there were property rights that were required for that, that your children were going to inherit your land, and through that, they would keep that name alive in that land. And here, he has given up his land, and he has gone to Moab, and he was not blessed. This did not make his life better. The name of the man was Elimelech, and his name of his wife was Naomi, and the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. So they go over there, her husband dies. Now, it doesn't say why he died. It doesn't give us a lot of details here. But Naomi is now there with her two sons in Moab. They've already given up their land in Israel. And now she is a widow, but she has two sons. And what do? In verse 4, they took two wives of the women of Moab, and the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so the woman survived her two sons and her husband. Naomi, who seems from all accounts to be a godly woman, and her husband go to Moab, and now she's alone in Moab with two Moabitess, two women of the land, and no children and no husband. She arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. And by the way, this is the time of the judges. Why would the Lord have visited his people by giving them bread? Well, most likely because they had begun to cry out to God and had begun to serve him again. That's the pattern that we see in Judges. It does not tell us that here, but that's probably the deal. Therefore, she went out from the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. Now, just right off the bat, this says a lot about Naomi, doesn't it? Naomi doesn't have any children, she doesn't have a husband, but she has two daughter-in-laws who want to go with her. They aren't saying, let's just hang out here in Moab. They aren't saying, please don't go. But instead, they're both trying to go with her. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with me, with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest each in the house of her husband. So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, surely we will return to you and your people. When you find out there's a different path for your life, what do? You just heard what Naomi did. But what do? We've had so many things in our family, in our larger family here as well. People die, and then you're alone. What do? What are you going to do? Do you give up? Do you get angry? Do you bury your head in the sand and pretend it's not happening? By the way, all of these things have happened in my family as reactions to losing a loved one. How about losing three? How about losing everyone except the extended family that really isn't your blood, only through marriage? Naomi did have it rough, and so did her two daughters. And so she kissed them and lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, surely we will return with you to your people. Naomi had it figured out pretty well, didn't she? Give up, go away bitter. That was Naomi's goal. She's angry, she's hurt, and she wants her stepdaughters to go away. And then she's going to go back to Israel and be bitter and die in the country where she was born. God has already been bitter. In fact, the language that we see here in some ways parallels Job in the way that he felt and the way that he acted. Naomi is done. In verse 1, chapter 1 and verse 10, we already read that. Surely, they said, we will return with you to your people. But Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Then they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Ruth. Without knowing it, Ruth changes her mother's life and changes a horrible situation into something amazing in several different ways. Not to say that Orpah wasn't good. And by the way, Naomi assumed that these women were following her because they wanted a husband. It's not why they were following her at all. They loved her. That shows her character. That shows who she was. In verse 15, she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more so also, if anything but death parts you and me. Now, very rarely do we talk good about Moab. Moab is known to be a place of idolatry and evil. Moab fought against Israel all the time. It was a pain to them. But here we have a woman that came from Moab who has this kind of character and has literally agreed to do whatever it takes just to stay with Naomi. Naomi felt the harshness of the time. In verse 18, when she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. Now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem, and it happened when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, is this Naomi? And she said to them, do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. All Naomi could see is the chastisement of the Lord. All Naomi could feel was the bitterness and the loss of her children and her husband. And she thought it was going to be more awful for Ruth to come with her because she was cursed than for Ruth to go away somewhere else. That's what she thought. But Ruth was about to change Naomi's life by giving her hope and a purpose just by deciding she would not go back to Moab. That decision that I'm going to stay with you changes who Naomi is. Naomi, who says, call me bitter, is later going to realize how blessed and amazing God is and how amazing her own life is. In Ruth chapter 2, there was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. So Ruth, the Moabitess, said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him, in whose sight I may find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered, the Lord bless you. Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, it is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and was counted from morning until now, though she rested a little while in the house. Then Boaz said to Ruth, you will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. So she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? Now, in one way, all she has done is simply shown honor to her mother-in-law, simply clung to someone who is so sad and so bitter, and gone to a foreign country so she could still be with the one that she loved. But in that statement, listen to what Boaz sees in her heart. And Boaz answered and said to her, It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and mother in the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Then she said, Let me find favor in your sight, my lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, Come here and eat of the bread, and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed parched grain to her. She ate and was satisfied, and kept back some. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Also let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it, that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. He shows such amazingly wonderful kindness to her. Maybe he likes her, but maybe he's just that kind of man. Ruth is a book that's stuck in the middle of this awful, awful place, where we've got Samuel and the children of Israel about to demand a king. We've got the judges and the failure of the people. And here we have Ruth, who fails herself, her husband fails, her children die, and Ruth shows us something else. She is out there working in the fields to take care of her mother-in-law. Just that alone is amazing. And Boaz taking care of her, reciprocating, and understanding what a good person she is, that's also amazing. That shows that the whole town has shown support for her. In Ruth chapter 2 and verse 17, So she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Then she took it up and went into the city with her, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. So she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, Where have you gleaned today, and where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked, and said, That man's name with whom I worked is today Boaz. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, Blessed be the name of the Lord, who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead. And Naomi said to her, This man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives. Ruth the Moabite said, He also said to me, You shall stay close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, and that people do not meet you in any other field. So she stayed close by the young women of Boaz and gleaned until the end of barley harvest and wheat harvest. And she dwelt with her mother-in-law. Until the end of the harvest, she continued this pattern, working and bringing food back for her mother-in-law. And by the way, there was a great harvest. Israel was being blessed again by God. Naomi begins seeing something new in her life. Did you hear it? The hope in her voice as she said, This man's a relative of ours. You keep going. You're doing well. She has food. She has someone that's showing her love. And she has hope that something might change. She's only been able to see bitter. And now she is beginning to see something new. In Ruth chapter 3, Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now Boaz, whose young women you were with, is he not a relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself, put on your best garment, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be when he lies down, you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down. And he will tell you what you should do. And she said to her, All that you say to me, I will do. Now, by the way, this is not the pattern for marriage. Just going to say right there, this is a little uncommon. If you start telling your children to do this, they might get killed, okay? You don't want this happening. And by the way, we probably don't go out to a threshing floor and then get drunk and fall asleep on it either. That may not be what's being said here, but it might also be what's being said here. There may have been other things going on. And what I love so much about the scriptures is they don't try to whitewash anything. They don't try to make this into something other than what it is, a story of a woman whose husband failed, her children failed, and then she failed, and God pulled her up from that into something new. Let's see where I was. And she said to her, all that you say to me I will do. Verse 6, so she went down to the threshing floor, did according to all her mother-in-law instructed her, and after Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. She came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, who are you? She answered, I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative. And by the way, the laws, the way they worked, there was property associated with Naomi. Naomi's husband's property, specifically. And that property would have gone to her children, who were both dead. So now the only hope Naomi had of having any property restored to her would be someone taking her name again and restoring her place so that her property could still have a place in the land through her descendants. Okay? So this is a little bit different. I know we talked about that this morning. She needs someone to take responsibility, as, by the way, a brother normally would in this time. So because of the way of the laws in the land, this is what should have been done. A brother of hers, or relative of hers, should take Naomi's daughter and be restored in the land. That is how all of the laws worked. And I know that's a little bit different than what we expect now, but that is the way the laws worked at that point. Verse 10, then he said, blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Just pause on that one right there. What is it about Ruth that makes her a virtuous woman? They've seen it. She has shown through her actions that she loves deeply, that she cares, that she wants to do what's right. She's even seemingly accepted the law of the land, changed who she was to become something new so that she could take care of Naomi. He can see the virtue in her. Now, it is true that I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative to you, good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning. So she lay at his feet until morning, and he arose before one could recognize another. And then she said, do not let it be known. Then he said, do not let it be known that the woman came to the threshing floor. Also, he said, bring the shawl that is on you and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 ephahs of barley and laid it on her. And she went to the city. He has been kind to her. He has been giving good things to her. She has been showing her worth through her actions. And there's something growing here. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, is that you, my daughter? Then she told her all that the man had done for her. And she said, these 6 ephahs of barley he gave me. For he said to me, do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law. Then she said, sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out. For the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day. In chapter 4, now Boaz went up to the gate and sat there, and behold, the close relative of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, come aside, friend, sit down here. So he came aside and sat down. He took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit down here. So they sat down. And then he said to the close relative, Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, sold a piece of land which belonged to her brother Elimelech. And I thought to inform you, saying, buy it back in the presence of the inhabitants and the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am next after you. By the way, little detail that comes with a woman. You know, just in case you didn't know that part. I will redeem it, he says. Then Boaz says, on the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance. And the close relative said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. You redeem the right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it. Now, what does this mean? It means that this man wanted to keep his property and his name associated with his property, and if he had sired a child, perhaps an only child, through her, her property would have been redeemed, and he may have lost his own. That's what that means. It also might mean that he's married and doesn't want another wife. There's a lot of other things that it could mean. It doesn't really matter. What it does mean is that he's not going to redeem this situation. And now that frees up Boaz to take her as his wife. In verse 7, now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging. To confirm anything, one man took off a sandal and gave it to the other. And this was a confirmation in Israel. Therefore, the close relative said to Boaz, buy it for yourself. So he took off his sandal. And Boaz said to the elders of all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilon's and Mahlon's from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, I have acquired as my wife to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren and from his position at the gate. You are witnesses this day. And all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house of Israel. And may you prosper in Ephrathah, I'll say that one day, and be famous in Bethlehem. May your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring which the Lord will give you from this young woman. And by the way, that is saying that you are old, buddy. That's what that just said. That last little phrase, because Judah, of course, was quite old when Tamar sired a child through him. So here Boaz, in his late life, finds something new. In verse 13, so Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then when the women said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative, and may his name be famous in Israel, and may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age, for your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom, and became a nurse to him. Also the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now this is the genealogy of Perez. Perez begot Hezron, Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab, Amminadab begot Nashon. Nashon begot Salmon, Salmon begot Boaz, and Boaz begot Obed. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David. One of the pillars that will later be built was called Boaz, just so you know. By this amazing set of circumstances, God changed something into something better. Naomi had it all figured out. She was going to go back home, be bitter, and die. That was it. I'm done. And instead, God had different plans for her. What does God have in mind for you? If we close our hearts and close our minds and push God away from us and say, I just give up, you're not going to make it. It's not going to get better. And you may well be denying something that God had in mind for you. We need to understand that life does not always go like we think it will. But that does not mean there is no hope, even if it seems that way at the time. We have found ourselves here on this planet. Our hopes and dreams may have changed. I don't know where you are in your life. I know I am currently in a place where I really don't know if the thing that I have been doing for so long, since 1998, is going to continue next week, next month. They just laid off 150, 200 people from our company. We've known that there were problems for many years. How does that affect me? What will that do to my family? Well, I pray that I will have the faith and the confidence to deal with whatever is put in front of me so that I can know that regardless of what I do, God is sovereign, Christ is king, and I'll be okay. Naomi had a hard time seeing through that in her sadness. And we have all been in that spot. But with God, all things are possible. We can find a way to remember who we are and to put Him first in whatever situation we find ourselves. I was recently talking to a dear friend who has been having a really, really tough time. And he forgot those things. And he's remembering them again. It's very easy for us to slip. The lesson is yours. If there's anyone here that needs the prayers of this congregation, or if you need to be baptized so that you can also have the hope of eternal salvation, please come forward as we stand and sing the song announced.